This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Moving my head.
Yeah.
I'm laying it off.
Love that too.
I'm pronating.
When you're not supinating.
I'm clearing too early. I'm clearing too late. My God, my swing feels like an unfolding lawn chair. I look like a fool.
What the hell do you think you look like shooting them chili peppers up Lee Jansen's ass?
Well, we're waiting.
What is up, golf fans, and welcome back to another Fairways and Dreams podcast. It is Thursday, which means it is just that, the Fairways and Dreams podcast, just me, Jeff Harbin. I need to ask you a favor. I need to ask for a call to action in case you've never done this before. Wherever you're listening to this podcast, especially Apple Podcasts or Spotify, do me a favor and give me a 5-star review. I do appreciate that, and that actually does help with the algorithms getting my podcast, if someone were to search something like golf, to move up the list a little bit. So if you're watching on Apple Podcasts, give us a 5-star. Give me a positive review. I really do appreciate it. I check those regularly as well as on Spotify. I appreciate it. Thank you very much for all my loyal listeners of the Fairways and Dreams podcast. I do hope you got a chance to check out Tuesday's episode, which might have seemed weird to some people. Speed golf. It was all about speed golf. Lauren Kupp joined me. I'm telling you, this is the number one ranked female speed golfer in the world. Not the state of New York, not in the United States, in the world. She competes internationally. I found it to be a fascinating conversation. If you missed it, go back and check it out. Nothing in that interview was time sensitive. So make sure you check it out. And I'm really excited for this episode for a lot of reasons. We're talking about social media in the golf industry. It's really unique and really interesting. But I get to actually talk about my game to start off. The news is that I finally got back out on the golf course. Haven't done this since I think maybe November, October-ish, maybe around there. The last time I talked about this on this podcast was when a golf course up in Pennsylvania kicked my ass in a big way. But no, I was back at my country club. My dad was visiting, myself, three of our kids. We went and I played 9 holes. I shot a 41. Okay. I shot a 41. Nothing to write home about. But there was a lot to write home about, and the fact that for the first time, maybe ever in my life, sounds crazy, in 9 holes, I hit 100% of fairways. I mean, it's insane. I have historically been someone that lives and dies by how I hit my driver. Was the iron game good? No. 22% of greens in regulation. So while I hit every fairway, it was really windy. Did not hit a lot of greens in regulation, got up and down a good bit, no birdies, avoided the big number, short game bailed me out on occasion, but still, I was very happy with the way I hit the driver. And I said this on Instagram, I'll say it here as well. If I continue to play like that off the tee, my iron game will come around. That was the first time playing. I was very happy. So, hey, thumbs up for me for the first time going out there and playing. Now, today we want to talk about social media. This is so unique, and one of the reasons why I wanted to bring it up and talk about it in this podcast, the intricacies of social media and the golf industry. I'm going to be honest here. Social media and golf is great, yet it's a very weird culture. I was not even really in this culture as of 2 years ago. I definitely did a lot of work, and the work that I do with my other network and the Pittsburgh Steelers and the NFL space. And I was very familiar with that and very familiar with how that evolves in the NFL sport, always evolving and changing, and it never ends. So when I started to dip my toe into the golf waters, at least on social media, so different. It's very, very different. Now, I started my Instagram account just so that I could have video clips of my kids golfing. So I'd go out with them. We'd be on our, we'd be at our country club. I'd film them, hit a couple shots. I would take it, put a compilation together as a reel, and I'd post it with one of their favorite songs. And that was it. And somehow or the other, people found it interesting, and I started to post some different stuff, and people found that interesting. And needless to say, I have over 1,000 followers after just a few years of doing this. And really, now it's turned into a promotional tool for this very podcast. But I found that every single platform is different as it pertains to golf and the industry and how they handle golf. It's really weird and different and dynamic. So let's talk about some of those platforms, and let's talk about how golf looks, at least from my perspective, through my lens, when it comes to how the golf game is established and promoted on that platform. Let's start with maybe the largest. It's not Instagram. It's not Twitter. It's not TikTok even. It's YouTube. YouTube golf has absolutely exploded. You have influencers out there now, these groups. And I'll never forget, it was a few years ago, I walked in, my son was watching television, he was watching YouTube, and he was watching these guys golf. And so I'm like, what are you watching, man? He goes, I don't know. And he was watching golf, that's all he knew. And so I'm watching it, and I said, what is this? So I look at the description, and it says, good, good. And there are these five guys, and they're just playing a scramble. And they're not competing against anyone else, they're just playing 18 holes in a scramble format. And they've got cameras all over the place. They've got tracers on the golf ball. I mean, the editing was impressive. I'm like, man, what the hell are these guys? They're not competing against anyone. So I checked out another video, and they were competing against another group. This time, 4v4, but they were playing against another group, scramble format again. And these guys were good golfers. I'm not taking anything away from their skill level, their talent. There was definitely talent there on those videos. So come to find out, like, this good channel, when I looked and did a little bit more digging, they've got millions of followers. I'm like, this is insane. Now they get sponsorships. Some of those golfers have branched off into their own brand. And then you have these other entities that are now entering the fray, whether it's Breezy Golf, the Foreplay podcast, which is part of Barstool Sports. They're sponsored by TaylorMade. And it's just, it boggles my mind. It's very fascinating. These were trailblazers in this industry, and as it pertains to the golf industry. So we're talking about golf club makers and things like that. All of them, they looked at these players and the amount of attention they were getting on this platform and said, this is how we can target the next group of golfer. And what you're finding is these influencers who could be sponsored by Mizuno or by TaylorMade or Callaway, any number of golf company, doesn't matter. They are bringing in a lot of views. They're bringing in a lot of exposure for those products. Those are just the main influencers, though. We'll get back to them in a second. Then you have how seemingly everyone that's on YouTube is an expert at golf somehow, some way. There are some that just want to have fun and poke fun at people and themselves, and that's great. It's good entertainment. But then there's people that say, I can fix your slice. Well, can you really? I mean, some people go and watch these videos and they think that one YouTube tutorial on how to fix their hook is or their slice is going to somehow work. Nonetheless, it gives everyone an ability and a platform to share their experiences playing unique golf courses. Maybe it's someone that's like, I'm going to play Pebble Beach and I'm going to take you with me. And so for someone like myself, who probably will never play Pebble Beach, at least not in the near future, I get to kind of live that. I get to kind of go with them and walk the course and see what it's like. So yeah, YouTube in and of itself, and that includes YouTube Shorts, have just exploded in the golf industry. So much so that now this YouTube golf craze is having tournaments. They're airing these tournaments. So there was a big tournament already that took place around the Waste Management. And I think that was in Vegas. And this thing, in terms of online viewers, it did better than the PGA Tour that day that it was released. Think about that. And there's people that are asking serious questions about whether the future of golf is not the PGA Tour, LIV Golf, or all the other stupid crap that happens there every single day, it seems like, but is actually these YouTube golfers and these golf groups that emerge from there that are good golfers, but they're entertaining. They allow you in. They make mistakes. They're not perfect. Maybe that is the future. I mean, they have another tournament coming up with features, and they've already done it, but they edit it so clean. They do such a good job. Man, this platform in and of itself with YouTube and the game of golf is fascinating to me. Absolutely fascinating. People might hate it, but you know what? They're onto something. They are onto something. And if I'm the PGA Tour or PGA Enterprises, I've got to be a little concerned about how many viewers they're getting. And I have to ask the question is, how do we get those golf fans that are watching these guys more than the tour? How do we get them back? Well, that's a long and sordid road, and we're not going down that road right now. Now let's go to Twitter. Twitter is probably, for my other job, is my number one social media app because it is all about news. Latest breaking news is happening. Twitter, X, whatever you want to call it. It's always Twitter to me. I'm sorry. But it's always, always, always the news is immediate and it's not as interactive. You know, people are not, there are people that are posting videos and trick shots and stuff like that, but it's definitely not the video side of it. This is where news breaks of John Rahm, rumors of John Rahm leaving for LIV Golf. That's where they start. That's where it first breaks, and then it leaks its way to Instagram. It is more immediate, and it's also more chronological, meaning and a tweet happens, it's going to show up when it happened, and especially if you have a list or things like that, you can have it set up a certain way so it shows chronological, whereas on other platforms, YouTube, not really a news source. Instagram is based on an algorithm. It's not really one of those situations where you have everything that happens as it comes. The Twitter, not really much there outside of news. Then you go to Instagram and TikTok, which I think are very, very similar. They parallel one another in terms of golf. Everyone wants to look like they are the perfectionist out there. There are several people that go onto those platforms and they say, look, I know I'm not that good, but I still want to show off how I've improved maybe. You know, there's a lot of people, some that have had on this podcast already that are just learning the game later in life. That's great. And they go out there and they show the good shots, they show the bad shots, but you know there's people that go out there and they might have two good shots in their entire round. And if they film them, those are the only two that they're showing. And, you know, there's some really great golfers and people spend a lot of time editing the videos with the tracers. I'll never forget one of the funniest videos I've seen was when someone posted a video that said, this is what Instagram golfers, influencers, and TikTok influencers are like. And so it shows a guy on the tee and he's talking to the camera and he goes, yeah, we've got about, I don't know, 350 carry. I might be able to drive this. We'll see. Let's see how it goes. I don't know. I've been a little rusty. And so the dude shanks one to the left, but the tracer goes straight as if he just crushed it down the middle. And so he goes, and he shanks it again. Like I said, he hits it off the hosel. But he holds his pose as if he just crushed that thing. So next, he goes up, he goes, ah, I must have mishit it. Must have mishit it. I'm only 5 feet away. And so he taps in for his eagle, when in reality, it's just so funny because there are a lot of people out there with the tracers and all of this stuff. They want to look professional. They want to act professional. They want to be that perfectionist. I'll always laugh. I've followed Rocco Mediate for a long time. I think he's just a great guy, and Rocco is down to earth. If you follow him on Instagram, he's on the Champions Tour now, and he recently had some success, and he was being interviewed after the round, and they said, you know, your swing looks a little different. He goes, I'm always tweaking my swing. He goes, I know it doesn't look pretty. He said, boy, does that drive the Instagram people nuts. Man, they're in the comments. It really pisses them off. I don't care, because you know what? It works, and if it works for me, then that's fine. That's all that I care about. And so I thought about that because there are people in the comments that can be really rough and really rude at times, the critics, the cynics out there, the perfectionists in all of us. But the one thing that is interesting about social media and the golf culture is just how people are starting to use these other people to maybe promote their products. So you talk about even something as simple as Acorn Hills, a friend of our podcast, which, by the way, if you want to check out Acorn Hills, go to acornhillsceo.com. acornhillsceo.com. Use the code FD15 to save yourself 15%. But Nate comes to me and says, hey, would you want a code for your podcast? Sure. He's promoting his product through my product. it really is interesting how this is kind of evolving and changing. But, you know, I got to be honest, when I think about social media, when I think about all of this stuff, I have been in different realms on places like Instagram, Twitter. Golf Instagram, to me, has been an extremely welcoming place. It was a breath of fresh air. I used to be in the fitness and health industry, had a business, online business, and that was, it was cutthroat. It was nasty. You had people that were doing some really, really nasty stuff. And golf Instagram, while it can be very critical of people's skill level and things like that, has been extremely welcoming space. I loved it. And when you think about it and compare it to the other platforms, I feel like it's a great tool. And I do love the interactive aspect of Instagram, whether it's in the stories or in the comment section. But you know, the one thing is that that's really the only platform I've used for golf. I have not dipped my toe into the TikTok waters. I just don't have that desire. Twitter, again, that's not really based on what people are typically doing with golf content. And YouTube, I do have a YouTube channel, but it just seems so secondary, and I don't play enough right now to be able to go out and get some actual original content for it. But man, golf and social media, it is changing. It is changing everything. When you think about how golf companies are trying to get to the consumer, when you think about how golf in and of itself is just changing, a lot of it's based on the social media perspective. You look at YouTube and the YouTube golf craze that is going on right now. Maybe that is the future of the game. And if it is, that's absolutely fine. Are you on social media? I'm sure you are. You probably found me somehow or some way. So if you are, welcome. And I thank you all very much. You want to follow me on Twitter, you can at jhartman, H-A-R-T-M-A-N underscore P-I-T. If you want to follow me on Instagram, it's thegolf, all one word, underscore life. I do appreciate it. And if you're on YouTube, just search Fairways and Dreams with the and symbol and you'll find me. You can subscribe and I do appreciate it. Okay, social media stuff aside, there is some news to talk about in the world of golf and with this podcast. Obviously, we are sponsored by the Golfer Gang Network, which continues to grow every single month. Excited for, you know, people like that are joining. I talked about joining the podcast realm, our network, the Golf Rehab Podcast, Break 80 Podcast just put out a new show. So did the Drop Podcast, the Upstate New York guys, the Pitch, Putt, and Puff Podcast, all have new stuff. Mulligans and Hackers, you name it, they're all contributing. We've got more and more coming. Check out Golfer Gang. I'm hoping to have the website launched by the Masters, so that's coming up. Stay tuned for more on that. But let's talk about Full Swing 2, a Netflix special. I'm going to be honest, I don't have Netflix. I don't have Netflix. You're probably listening to this saying, how in the heck does Jeff not have Netflix? I don't watch a lot of television. I will watch some sports on my phone or on my TV on occasion, but we don't have Netflix or anything like that. So for me, it's just kind of like, I don't get into that too much. And honestly, I'm so burnt out on the whole PGA Live thing. I don't know if I would want to watch it because the next news bit is that Live Golf is complaining and pulling their, withdrawing their bid to be included in the world golf rankings. And Greg Norman saying this is ridiculous and we're going to seek other ways of getting notoriety in terms of rankings. I am beyond tired of talking about all of this. I really am. And I have to feel that I'm not alone when I say that this is exactly what we refer to with the YouTube golf craze and the movement, is that I'm not alone with people not wanting to care. They don't care about it anymore. They don't care. Paul Azinger is coming out saying, oh, well, you know, Live Golf is now the big club with the best golfers, and the PGA is just kind of like a way to play your way into that. He's not wrong. Look at all the golfers that are over on Live right now compared to those on the PGA Tour. When was the last time a big name player actually won a PGA Tour event? Hasn't really happened yet this season. So it's interesting to me how this Live stuff continues to drag on. I'm just sick of talking about it. Now, Anthony Kim did make his return last weekend. I think it was at Jeddah, and it was in the middle of the night. Break 80 Podcast, go check them out. They did a great job breaking it down. They follow it way closer than I do. He just didn't look that good. He didn't look that good. And when I was explaining the situation to my wife, I said, well, he couldn't play professionally. She goes, yeah, but he probably played, right? I don't know how much training he did. And I'll say this. I'm going to be as respectful as I can, but I'm going to say what everyone out there that watched any bit of this or saw an interview with him thought in their head, and that is, the dude looks rough. The dude looks rough. He looks real rough. I don't know what happened with him in the last 10 years, but if you do a side-by-side, and it's not the fact that he's 10 years older. You could get a picture of me at 31 and now of me at 41. There's not that much of a difference, folks. Maybe the beard. That's it. Maybe a little less hair on top. That's it. Anthony Kim. I don't know what happened with that guy. And he said he'll tell his story when he gets a chance. And maybe I am kind of intrigued of what that story is. But, man, he looked rough. And his game looked rough. Like, it was kind of a yikes moment. It was kind of a yikes moment in terms of Anthony Kim's return to professional golf on the LIV Golf Tour. So, okay, we always ask on Twitter every single Wednesday, because I record this on Wednesday for a Thursday morning run, if anyone has any questions. Last week, we had a bunch of questions. Q&A time. I had one this week, one. And that was from a guy named Tendercat. He is also a Steeler fan, follows me there as well. He says, and this is what he says, Tendercat, quote, "I golf because mostly it's peaceful. There for a few hours, all I have to worry about is getting that ball in the hole, which, judging from your response last week, I don't do a very good job of. What is the core reason you golf? Peacefulness, or you want to master the game?" End quote. Good question, Tendercat. Now, first, Tendercat, last week you talked about how you struggle off the tee, you struggle from the fairway, chipping is not good. And so I'm piecing this together in my head, and I'm thinking, dang, Tendercat, man, like the game's struggling. Like, but the game is difficult. The game is really difficult. And I realize and I remind myself, you know, I talk about shooting a 41 the first time I got to play nine holes this year, and I was pretty happy with it. There are people that would probably kill just to shoot 41 on nine holes. They probably never have done it. But here I am saying, like, I didn't birdie a hole, and yeah, I could greens and regulation were really a struggle for me, and all this stuff. I get that. I understand it. But Tendercat, the one thing you got to do with golf, I don't know how long you've been playing. You could have been playing your whole life, or you could have just started to pick up the game. But understand this. Don't give up. Seriously. Don't quit the game. Don't quit the game because you're not playing well right now. Go back to my Don Donatello, the caddy that I had on last Tuesday. What did he say? Go get a lesson. If you really want to improve in golf and you don't have someone in your life that can help you out, I wouldn't go to YouTube and watch some YouTube videos on how to fix your hook or fix your slice or become a better ball striker. I would go get some lessons if you care. But judging by your comment today, Tendercat, you just like to get out there for the peace, being out there, you know, not having to worry about anything except for the game of golf. And honestly, I'm going to reference you back to, I think it was last Thursday's show of why I love golf, why I play golf. But I also can answer this and say one thing that I might not have said on the last podcast when I actually outlined why I love the game of golf. And that is that the reason why I golf has changed tremendously from when I was younger. So when I was little, and my wife was asking me about this the other day, and so were my kids, it was at the breakfast table. Like when I first started golfing, and I talked to them about how I just was chipping around in the backyard. Like, we had a little pal Joey wedge, and sometimes my brother would be out there, and sometimes I was by myself. And you'd see Jeff in the backyard, and I would be doing the self-talk all about, okay, here we go. It's the Masters. It's the 18th. He's got to get up and down to win a green jacket. Or it's the U.S. Open. Like, I would do that all the time, and I'd chip around. And then eventually I got big enough, and I got hand-me-down clubs, and I was able to go play our local nine-hole course, which is a really short course. And I went out there just because, well, I felt like it was the next progression of the game. And I would struggle. And I would really struggle. And I would struggle to get the ball off the ground at times. And I would top the ball off the tee. And there were times I was like, you know, this sucks. Like, this just sucks. This is frustrating. I kept playing, get to high school level, kind of geared more towards baseball than anything else. But I still go out for the golf team. My freshman year, my brother is on the team. He's either our number one or number two golfer, depending on who's playing the best at that time. And man, I'm lucky if I can just get a seat at the table. I'm happy if I shoot a 40 on the easiest nine-hole course that we play. And it was that was, I look back, my mom had some of our old scores from high school. She kept everything, by the way. And she's like, oh my gosh, my brother and I were looking at them. This was last summer. I think we were both back home in Wheeling. And I said, look at these scores, man, I sucked. I really, really sucked. And in college, you know, because obviously the pressure I put on myself in high school, I've spoken about how I almost didn't like the game anymore. The pressure almost got me to the point where I didn't want to play anymore. Like, the competitive edge in golf was gone. It was gone. And so I just started to play in college, had some fraternity brothers who golfed, and we would go out every now and then, but I didn't play a lot. And if I was around my dad or my brother, we'd golf. I didn't have any expectations. I wanted to play well, but it wasn't until towards the end of college, I was like, okay, this is a game that now I should be starting to get back into. And I started to go to the driving range a little bit more and not just go out and golf. I started working on my game a little bit more, and it started to pay off. And so I started to play a little bit better, a little bit more consistent. And it's kind of gotten me back into where I am now. Now, I'm a much better golfer now than I ever was in my life. So at 41, I'm a better golfer now than I was at 31 or at 21. And that's difficult for a lot of people to understand. Do I hit the ball as far? Probably, because my swing is better now. I've gotten some help along the way. I've never really taken a lesson, but I've really taken the time to look at my swing, to learn about my swing. And I also take time to go and practice my swing. If you follow me on Instagram, we put up the net out back all the time. Myself, the kids are hitting off the little mat into the net, working on things, filming our swings. It's not because we're narcissists. It's because we want to look at things. How can we improve it? I go back to the conversation I had with Adam Harnett on my podcast about a month ago. And he talked a lot about how we can evaluate our own swings and how we make contact with the ball impacts what the ball does in the air. It was fascinating. And so I've learned a lot from him. He's a great follow on Instagram, by the way. But go back and listen to that podcast as well. Nothing there. Again, this is so different from my other podcast about football where everything is time sensitive. And you do a podcast and 48 hours later, it's done. It's dead. No one's going back and listening because it's probably dated. But this stuff can last forever. So Tendercat, thank you for the question. I do appreciate it. As we always do, let's talk about our bets. My bets have not been good. But then again, the PGA Tour has been really tough to bet on recently based on the fact that a lot of people have come from nowhere to win. Last week at the used to be called the Honda Classic, now is the Cognizant Classic, I had Cam Young, 2,200. Rory, Cam Young, and Eric Holt to finish in the top 20. That did not happen. Therefore, let's go with the Arnold Palmer Invitational down at Bay Hill. The bet is I'm going to go with leaders, a winner. I'm always going to give you a winner. And then I'm going to give you this time the player I think could be the first round leader. If you've never bet on golf, which by the way, I'm not playing these bets yet. We're gearing up for the Players and we're gearing up for the Masters. I'll place some bets there. But if you've never bet on golf, that there is a lot of fun stuff that you can do in the game of golf. And I'm not telling anyone to bet their money. I'm not telling anyone to develop a gambling habit. All I'm saying is that if you've ever been interested, they do some really fun type of bets, especially for the majors. So I like Colin Morikawa. He's taken some time off. He's a very accurate player. You need to be accurate down there in Florida. He's at plus 2,500. I don't know what it was. I'm going through the odds. And yes, Scottie Scheffler's playing. I think Jordan Spieth, Rory, Justin Thomas, they're all playing in this tournament. This is kind of where they start the ramp up to the Masters. And I was like, you know what? There's something about Colin Morikawa. I think his game translates well. You have to be an accurate striker of the golf ball down there. You have to have a good short game. I have like Colin Morikawa plus 2,500 to win it all. Now, my second bet, because I typically give you two bets, Victor Hovland. I like this young guy. He's a really good player. I feel like he could come out strong. I'm not saying he's going to win, obviously, but I have him as a first round leader. So leading after round one, plus 2,200, Victor Hovland. We'll see if any of these play out. I love some of these bets. They're just fun. Fun to think about. And they have we've already done the couplings of the two, three golfers finishing the top 20, including ties. Really fascinating stuff. We're really going to be gearing up in terms of the gambling side of things, heading into the Masters and the Players at the end of the month of March. So be on the lookout for that. But that does it. I'm back out on the golf course. Hopefully by the time next Thursday rolls around, I will have another round of golf, maybe just another nine holes. I don't know. I don't think I can even enter scores yet in the state of Maryland. I'll have to double check on that. But still, we'll be keeping you up to date with all that and all the latest stuff on the Fairways and Dreams podcast. Make sure you're on the lookout for next Tuesday, the two-man scramble. I'll have a guest on, as I do every Tuesday, to talk about all things golf. In the meantime, if you missed any of these shows, go back and check them out. Nothing is time sensitive, and I think you're going to love it. So, hey, last thing. This could be a grassroots movement. If you have a golfer in your life, share the podcast. I do appreciate if you do that, because it's how we have to spread the word at this point in the game. Just spread the word the best we can. We're going to do it the old school way, the organic way. Share it with your buddies in your golf group, and they will appreciate it. I appreciate it. Hopefully they like it and they stick around. In the meantime, you know how you finish these out when I do a show that's by myself. Be safe, be kind, and God bless. Hit them straight. We'll see you on Tuesday for another two-man scramble. Take it easy.
Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's kazoo concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's bachelorette bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.